Psalms 107, verses 1 and 2, as we look at these verses tonight. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. As we think about those verses, those words, what do they mean to us tonight? The title that I've looked at is, you ought to have a reason to celebrate Jesus. And we have a reason. We have Easter. That's a good one, isn't it? We celebrate it because that means we get put on a new suit, new shirt, new dresses, and all of those types of things. And we get to see all of the new styles that are out for the coming summer. But as we think about that, you ought to have a reason to celebrate Jesus. We must remember on June the 25th, 2009, the man that we know of as the King of Pop, Michael Jackson, died at the age of 50. 50 years old he lived to be. That many years to make something of his name. He was known as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, entertainer of the world ever lived in a time. And even today, he is selling just as many, if not more, CDs than he did when he was actually singing. Now, some of y'all can say, I can remember growing up with that. I can't. I remember it, but I must say I'm a little bit older than Michael Jackson. So I didn't grow up with him. He kind of grew up with me. But he did songs like ABC, Never Can Say Goodbye, Gotta Be There, Dancing Machine, Blame It on the Boogie, Shake Your Body to the Ground, Rock With You, Wanna Be Something, Lovely One, Beat It, Billie Jean, Thriller, The Man in the Mirror, Black or White. You probably remember a lot of those, and I could probably name a few more. But we also know that Michael Jackson was a humanitarian. He was interested in people that were poor, and he gave charitable organizations. He helped out in any way that he could. When Michael Jackson died, he died as a legacy. He died as the King of Pop. When he died, people from all over the world knew about it that day, didn't they? It was text, it was Facebook, it was Twittered, it was done in every way that could. It was put on TV, and everybody knew it. There's nothing wrong with having idols. We watch American Idols, we see those, and we have those idols that we look up to, don't we? And Michael Jackson is certainly one that many have looked up to. But he should not be considered as the king of everything, the king of kings. He should not become a god. And sometimes we have put our role models up on those pedestals where they're equal to God. But as we think about this tonight, we think about yet another man that only lived 33 years, roughly, and died. This man didn't write any songs. He didn't have any great hits. He didn't do the moonwalk and all of the other things that was done. This man never sold out a concert. He never packed out a house. He never had standing room only. But yet he had a large following, just like Michael Jackson. He had bodyguards, crowds following him. He fed people that were hungry with just two fish and five loaves of bread. He did all of these things. And when Michael Jackson died, he was laying in a bed when he died. When Jesus Christ died, there was nowhere to put him except in a borrowed tomb. When Michael Jackson died, it was televised. The whole funeral service was televised. People from all over the world saw it. His body was put in Staples Center where thousands of people attended it, and millions of others watched it on TV. When Jesus Christ died, what happened? He was quietly taken off the cross that he was nailed upon. He was quietly carried to a barred grave and was put there. You see the difference that we see in these things that happen. But we know that Michael Jackson is still in the coffin. Jesus Christ put in a buried grave, a barred grave, rose again on the third day. That's the difference that we see. And that Jesus Christ is alive today. Now, we can say that Michael Jackson's music's alive, and he's alive, but he is dead. His heart did not refunction. It did not start. He did not come out of that grave. He is still in the grave. but Jesus came out alive. And so that is a time of celebration. We can celebrate these. We ought to celebrate Jesus because he is the living Word of God, because he is the Lamb of God, the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world, the great physician, the bread of the light, the water of light, the light of the world, our great Redeemer, great Jehovah, the open door, the great Shepherd, and we could go on and on with those. But yes, Jesus Christ is also my friend who sticks closer to me than a brother. He is my doctor in the sick room. He is my lawyer in the courtroom. He is my bread when I am hungry. He is the water when I'm thirsty. He is my wonderful counselor when I am confused. He is my peace in the midst of the storm. He is the joy when I am sad. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. So as we think about that tonight, I want us to think of something real quickly, several things. First of all, we should seek the Lord Jesus with all our hearts. When we do everything for Jesus, we should give it our all, shouldn't we? Everything that we have, we should give it. We should share it. We should also not only seek the Lord with all our hearts, but we should serve the Lord with all our hearts. We should want to do whatever we can to the best of our ability, shouldn't we? That means studying as Sunday school teachers. That means pastors preaching as they do, to study all week, be prepared, pray, and prepare themselves to do the very best that we can. To sing, to play. I'll be honest with you. There are times that I come to worship services that I'm not altogether ready. Even though I've written a sermon, I have prayed, and I felt like this is what the Lord wants me to, there are times that when at 11 o'clock, Jimmy plays that prelude, that I can sit there and just close my eyes and I could feel God speaking. We give it all our hearts. Thirdly, we love the Lord Jesus with all our hearts. Now, we love ice cream, don't we? We love all kinds of junk food, don't we? We love sports. We love music. Now, if you can understand those types of loves, how much more should we love God? We should love him with all our hearts, just as he did. Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord their God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, and with all thy might." Fourthly, we should obey the Lord Jesus with all our hearts. We should listen to him. We know right from wrong, don't we? Have you done something that you knew was wrong, and after you did it, you had that feeling? Remember in Vacation Bible School when we were talking about that pain? Do you have that pain of guilt when you did something wrong and you knew it was wrong before you did it? How did you overcome that pain of guilt? When we confessed it to Jesus? This is what he's talking about. We should obey him, listen to him. When he tells us things, we should hear it. Now, who can hear God? Every one of us. Every one of us. God doesn't say, okay, you have to become an adult. You have to be 18, and then once you're 18, then I'm going to show you. I have heard some of the most powerful sermons ever preached by a six-year-old. I have heard some of the most powerful music sung by 12-year-olds. God can speak to every one of us and does. We should hear him and listen to him with all our hearts, obey him. We should turn to the Lord with our Lord Jesus with our hearts. We should turn to him. Joel 2, 12 and 13 says, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn you even to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Render your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, and slow to anger, and of great kindness repent." We should turn to the Lord with all our hearts. I shared with you many times growing up, I got punished as a kid. I was not a bad kid. I was just very curious. And curiosity used to get me in trouble. But when I got in trouble, especially like picking on my brother, younger brother, my mother would always say, "You apologize." And I apologized. You know why? If I didn't, I was either going to get a whipping or get punished in somehow or another. And it was easier to say, I'm sorry, than it was to get further trouble. So I did it half-heartedly. I turned to my brother and I said, I'm sorry. Was it convincing? No. How about our worship to God? How about our prayers to God? Is it convincing to Him the way that we worship sometimes? Do we come and we just get into a habit, a routine? You know, traditionally, when it's worship service. Wake up, people. Traditionally, when is worship service? 11 o'clock. Sunday morning. No other time, right? Traditionally. That's what I said. Traditionally. Is that where it's always been? Jesus went to the temple on the Sabbath, didn't he? Which was Saturday. But when he did his preaching and teaching, what days were the week were those? About any time. Exactly. So we need to learn that we should turn to the Lord with all our hearts as they did, come to Him with anything and everything. We should praise the Lord Jesus with all our hearts. When these kids are playing up here and they're playing the music, we should get into it. God, these words are beautiful words. They really are. If we would learn the songs. If you look in the Baptist hymnal, those songs in there have beautiful words to them. And many times we are what? Singing those words because they said, let's stand and sing. And Miss Sarah's standing up there over that pulpit and she's got those glasses on and she can look out there and she doesn't see lips moving. She knows somebody's not singing, right? So we sing so we don't get caught. And yes, she happens to be a school teacher on top of that. But we sing not necessarily because we want to love the Lord with all our hearts and sing with all our hearts, but we sing it because of habit. Psalms 86:12 says, I will praise the Lord, O my God, and with my heart I will glorify your name forever. Baptist has a tradition. We like to eat meat. And with the eating meat, we developed, especially the guys, this little front piece here. Some people call it fat, but it's a real purpose for that. You know, there's a real purpose for this. You can say, yeah, just say you don't have to see your feet or your ugly shoes, but it's a real purpose. When you're sitting in the pews and you get humped over, it makes a good rest for your arms, doesn't it? And when you're doing this, it says we're afraid to worship God, doesn't it? Because if we undo our hands, we might even lift our hands, you know? Some of the youth concerts that I have gone to, we have gone to, and kids would just raise their hands and you could just see the worship in their faces and their expressions. So is that wrong? No, it's not. And that is what he's saying, that we are to glorify his name. I've seen them where they do the jump up and down and they rock the house and all of that. And that's great. But you will see that at the end of the concert, what are they doing? They're moving to a worship heart. And then the last thing I want us to see is we should trust the Lord Jesus with our hearts. Trust him. Trust him. That is the hardest thing in the world to do, is to trust Jesus, isn't it? We are afraid. Let's face it. We're afraid. We are afraid that God might ask us to do something that we can't do. How do I know? He's done that to me. He's asked me to do something that I would have never thought I would do. I would have never stood in front of people. I would never have shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would have never been found in a pulpit and preaching on the name of Jesus Christ. I would have never done that. And you know what? When he asked me to do it, I didn't believe I could do it. And I've got friends today that still don't believe I can do it. They don't believe that I'm in the ministry and I graduated back in the dark ages. We'll leave it that way. And they still can't believe I'm a minister, that I am preaching, that I am standing in front of people. But by the grace of God, he can. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not towards your own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. When we can claim that, we can understand. Now the question may come up, why should we give God our heart in celebration of him? And the answer is John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who shall ever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I love the way they put it this way. We ought to give God our hearts because it is Jesus who loved us. It is Jesus who died for us. It is Jesus who washed us white as snow. It is Jesus who quickened us. It is Jesus who translated us. It is Jesus who made us priests and kings. It is Jesus who called us. Aren't there wonderful things that he's done for us? It is Jesus who has begotten us. It is Jesus who has blessed us. It is Jesus who has raised us. It is Jesus, and I love this final one, who has given us the victory. And when I found this, those last words were capitalized. Who has given us the victory? And that's what it is. As we think of these verses, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You see that God has been good to us, to me, to you, and to each one of us. I'm at the end of my ministry. I'm at the age that I'm not going to be here much longer. And there are days I just look at God and say, why not take me now so I can go ahead and get to heaven? Paul did the same thing. But Paul says, but God, if you're not going to take me to heaven and you're going to leave me on this earth, then tell me what I'm supposed to do. That should be our prayers. I want to go to heaven. I want to. But God don't want me there right now, because God has something for me to do. And I have to accomplish, as we talked about this morning, we have to run the race. We have to finish the race. And my race isn't finished yet. It's close. But I have a son that's beginning his ministry. As I am ending, he is beginning. We have young people that are beginning as we finish our race. And that's what keeps this going. We should be able to go. If God has delivered you, you ought to say so. If he is calling you, you ought to go. We need to hear his voice tonight. We need to understand and to know that God is a God that loves. And therefore, we do have a reason for celebrating, don't we? Now, I used to love to go to New Year's Eve parties. Now, if I'm lucky, I may stay up and watch the ball drop by myself because Angie's already passed out in the bed. And there are a lot of New Year's Eves that I passed out before the New Year started. But I like to go to parties. I like celebrations. I like things that are fun, don't you? And that's what church is all about. This is what it's all about, a reason to celebrate. And that is why we come here, a reason to celebrate God. As Paul has taught us about the poured out offering, that's what we are tonight. We are coming here tonight to celebrate and to become a poured out offering for him, that it be pleasing in his sight. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night that you've given us, and we come tonight just thanking you for these words that you've given us, Father, that we can celebrate, that we can recognize and give you all of our heart, listen and obey you, Father, and know that the victory has already been won. Father, we pray for this service. We pray for each person here that tonight we have been touched and moved and draw closer to you, Father, and that we are now more in love with you than we were just a few minutes ago when we walked through those doors. And each day, Father, can we fall in love with you just a little bit more, draw closer to you, and learn to hear your voice, to know your voice, and then to obey your calling.
For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.